Get your Bibles out. Turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to read verses 6 through 9 together. We'll pray, and then I'm going to preach. I really believe we'll be done right at noon today. Notice I said I believe. It doesn't mean help thou my unbelief. Help thou your unbelief. Isaiah chapter 55, we're going to read verses 6 through 9, and we'll read this passage responsively, and I don't think I will have to work for your attention this morning, but I do want to work for you to pay close attention, not just be entertained today. I don't plan on using much humor today at all. You're going to have to listen on purpose. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 6 through 9. Ready? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And let's pray. Father, I need you. Lord, I stand before our church as a sinner just as they are. And there is no way that this sinner could communicate a perfect word of God without the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, please do that which I cannot do. Make it clear, make it plain, make it apply to each and every one as they need it applied in their life today, please. May I listen in the Spirit and preach in the Spirit as my people listen in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. God made us in his image. Genesis chapter 1 says, God made man in the image of God. Now listen to me. But when man sinned, we are still created in God's image, but we are not like God. Though we are created in his image, we are not like him. God is not a sinner. God cannot sin. God has no sin. Now, Satan tempted man to be like God. He said, you could be like God, knowing good and evil for yourself. You don't need God to tell you what to do. You could be your own God. The moment man sinned, all of mankind began down a slippery slope to hell and to battle mentally and spiritually this thing of, am I God or is God God? May I say something to you? We humans today have the same battle. We all struggle with it. People today, including Christians, still struggle with God. We have this idea that, and if you miss everything in the sermon, don't miss this. We have this idea that God pre-programmed everybody's life in eternity past, and it just happens like a computer program. You program it and push the button and watch it all play out. That is not what God did. That's what the Catholics want you to believe. They want to blame everything on God. That's what the lost want to do. They want to blame everything on God. Don't you think that a perfect, holy, omniscient God could do better than what we have in the world today? Don't you think if God pre-programmed everything that he could do a better job than what's happening around here today? You see, God gave all people a free will, and God is not allowed to have what he wants most of the time because of our sinful free will. God has a plan, but it's not working out for per se the way he originally planned. You say, why? Because we sinned and messed it up.
We decided what we want is more important than what God wants.
And because we have sinned, we try to reason, logic, or figure God out based on how we sinful humans think. Hang on. Human thinking is corrupted and perverted by sin.
Brother Larry, did you know I have tried to live a spiritual life, but my thinking is still tainted by sin? It is. Brother Harry, did you know that your mother-in-law is a sinner? Oh, you did know that. Kathy, did you know that your husband's a sinner? Now, don't answer that out loud. All right? Can I tell you something? We're all sinners. And did you know because we're sinners, our way of thinking is perverted by sin? It is corrupted by sin. I really need you to pay attention to these next statements here. God tells us in Isaiah 55, verses number 8 and 9, that we cannot think like he thinks. Look at verse number 8 again. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. That wasn't Isaiah saying it, that was God saying it. Amen. Then he goes on to say and says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He said, I think so far above what you think, and I act so far above the way you act, because I am not corrupted and perverted by sin like every human is. That's what God is saying here in Isaiah chapter 55. That means we cannot think like God. He does not tell us he will try. He does tell us, let me rephrase that. God does tell us in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, he will try to work things out for our good. Beloved, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He didn't say everything's for your benefit. He said he would try to work it out for your good. He will try to work out the good that's in it. He will try to direct you to good in the bad situation. But he did not say he would take every bad situation away. Because we are perverted and corrupted by sin, God cannot change that fact. Now, if you're one of these people, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about everybody. All right? So don't say, oh, preacher, you were preaching right at me. I have nobody in mind. Well, maybe Ellen. I grow weary sometimes of people who say, why did God allow this, thus and so to happen? Why didn't God stop such and such? How come God didn't do this? Why did God blank? Every one of those questions are man trying to put God into human perverted thinking. God says, my thoughts are above your thoughts, my ways are above your ways. Now, this is where you could really get mad. Every one of these questions are man's reasonings that don't match what they think God should have done. The answer is simple. You're not God. And you better be glad I'm not God.
Amen.
Especially the Democrats.
Amen. Double amen on that.
I thought one of the funniest things that's happened in the last 2 years is within an hour of Kavanaugh being voted in yesterday, they had him sworn in. That was the fastest swearing in ceremony I ever saw in my life, and thank God for it. You are not God. And God was not allowed to do what he wanted. That's why you have the problem you face. You know, why did God have this person? Why did God
allow Brother Rich Stoltz to die 3 months ago yesterday. Because Rich Stoltz was a sinner. And as is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Well, I don't think it was fair. Oh, so you expect God to think your way? Well, what about, just recently I talked to a lady who lost a baby. Oh, that's just not fair. I don't understand why God does that. Guess what?
Everybody's a sinner. And I hate to say this, even that infant child that hadn't been born was a sinner because we're conceived in sin. My daughter-in-law has lost 2 children. Oh, that's not fair. Hey, I'm one of the few grandpas that have 2 perfect grandkids. Never have sinned and never will. Think about that. You see, God can do better. God didn't pre-program everything and just push go. And he's watching it as he pre-programmed it. You say, well, what is God's pre-programming? That's what heaven will be. When God has his way, that's what heaven will be. Everybody understand that? That's when you'll have a sinless mind and will have no recollection of any sin and not have the ability to sin. Then you won't judge God by saying, well, when I get there, I'm going to ask him this. No, you won't. How about you let me defend God today and teach you what God has to say about it? How about we quit blaming God for all the bad things that don't go the way we want them to go? Everybody doing okay? Man wants to do his own thing, but blame God for the results. Why did God allow the flooding in North Carolina? Well, God gave man enough sense not to build his house that close to the water.
Amen.
And you want to blame God? Please don't get mad at me, but am I not correct in that? You see, we want to do what we want and then blame God for it. Let me help you not to have such a bad attitude with God. God does not give us a free will and then dictate every part of our life. God doesn't say, I'll give you a free will to choose as long as you do exactly what I tell you to do. That's not how God works. Let me shut this door. Hang on here. Fear the people down in the salon or I'll have a heart attack and I'll have to pay hospital bills. God does not give you the free will to choose and then judge everybody because you don't make the decision he wants and then forces you into it. I don't tell my children who they're supposed to date and marry. They're adults. If they marry the wrong one, that's their fault. Please don't get mad at me. I may warn them, just like God warns. But it's their... They have to live with it, not me. I picked mine on purpose, and I've enjoyed all 29 plus years. I even get along with my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law, especially when she's in Minnesota. Now, wait a minute. God does not give us a free will and then dictate every part of our life. Did you know that God set up the earth to where it runs with or without man? But it's man's job to take care of it. It's man's job to make it productive for man. Now listen to this very carefully. What God did with creation is still happening today. What God did pre-program, did you know that the sun came up this morning?
Amen.
Did you know that the sun will set tonight at about 6:45? Did you know that tomorrow morning it will come back up? Because God put that in place in Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that the stars will be in their place tonight? Did you know that the moon will be in its place tonight, and we can predict where it is, how much of it will be there? We'll know where the stars are according to what day of the week and month and time of the year it is. Everything that God put together in Genesis chapter 1 is still working exactly the way he did it. Did you know that they can tell you what time high tide will be today and low tide will be today? Because God separated the water from the land and he made it to where it would do that. And everything that God put in place is still working.
Amen. Did you know that the plants will grow? Now, there's weeds mixed up in the middle because of our sin. But did you know that all the plants will grow, for the most part? Do you know, there are more trees in America now than when Columbus founded our country in 1492? You see, our part of it is to care for it. But whether we care for it or not, it's still there. It still continues to produce. And yet, you let the storms come and a tree fall down. Oh, why did God allow that to happen? Well, why'd you put your house right under the tree? Go figure. Man needs to understand that God doesn't control our part of life because we chose to sin. God does take care of his part of it. But our part of it is up to us because we chose a sinful life. By the way, that's why God calls himself our father, not our dictator. Now, we have to understand that God is so far above us in thoughts and deeds that we are unfair to God when we look at him and judge him through our sinful fleshly eyes. How can a sinful, frail, sick human judge God? What right do we have to tell a holy, righteous, perfect, omniscient, omnipresent God how he's supposed to do something? How unfair to God. And may I say this, it is a sin that is as reprehensible as Satan himself. You could be like God. You can judge God because you don't see it God's way. Did you know that the Creator has kept his end of the bargain? You still have a productive world. We humans have sinned and we have caused the mess that we have. Did you know that the animals keep reproducing whether man takes care of it or not? That's what God created. Did you know that all of the things that he set in motion in Genesis, did you know that man keeps repopulating? Saved or lost? Now, I believe some shouldn't, but it is what it is. You know, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. How can we, the created, tell the creator what he should do? You know, I could
put on a costume and dress up to be like, well, I'd have to put a few pillows in and be like Brother Joe. I could put a mask on that looks like him. I could wear the clothing that he's wearing in similarity. And I could be like him, but I would not be him, thank God. See, I could look like him, but that doesn't mean I am like him. I may appear to be like him, but I am not going to think the way he thinks. And the world's glad of that. And the world's glad that nobody wants to be me. You see, you can put a costume and be like someone, but you are not them. Today, I want to defend God for a few minutes
and maybe have you start looking through his eyes instead of your own. Number one, what God created is still succeeding and productive in spite of the curse of sin. I know I mentioned this just a minute ago, but may I say this? Everything that God put in motion in Genesis chapter 1, it's still in motion. Every bit of it.
Please don't get angry with me. And don't fight with me. This is not doctrine. But I really don't believe there ever were what science calls dinosaurs.
Amen.
Everything made it through the flood. Dinosaurs were never even, quote-unquote, founded until the evil doctrine of evolution came on the scenes in the 1850s and 1860s. Everybody doing okay? Now, if you believe there were dinosaurs, God bless you. And you can have your opinion. I have enough information to where I believe personally there wasn't. But can I tell you something? Even if there were, they're not there now. Who cares? It doesn't change anything. Everybody doing okay? Did you know that the plant life still flourishes in our world today because God made the plant life?
Yes.
Do you know that the sun gives its light by day and the moon by night, every day and night, just as God put it in action and order? Did you know that the sea life still flourishes? Isn't it amazing how much food and things that we take from the sea every year and yet it keeps producing? Every year. Think about the billions and billions and billions of people that eat from the sea and the waters. God put that food there and those animals and things in there at creation, and they're still reproducing. And there weren't 8 billion people on the face of the earth at the time, but there are now, and it sustains its life and keeps going. There are still plenty of deer, especially in the state of West Virginia.
Amen.
Won't be after the next few months, but we're going to thin them out. See, oh, that's so cruel. Did you know that there was a time back about 60, 70 years ago in America where there were no hunting laws and we had fewer deer than we have now? Hunting actually enhances it. It doesn't deplete it.
That's right.
Makes it healthier. You find an area that's not hunted, this chronic wasting disease and other things that go around due to, honestly, not enough hunting practices.
Right.
You start getting crossbreeding going on, start getting not enough food going on, and they start congregating and they pass the disease from one to the other. Best thing to do is go in and thin the herd. Thin the herd. That's man managing it. That's what we're supposed to do. On top of eating it after we manage it. Amen?
Amen.
Did you know that human life keeps going? God breathed into man the breath of life. He said, go replenish the earth, go fill the earth. Guess what? We still do. Look how many people die every day, but the birth rate exceeds by 2 what the death rate is. It's amazing. And I helped somebody here in the last couple of weeks with this thought, and it's, you don't hear it used. There's just so much crime and so many problems in America today. I am 51 years old. Do you know that I remember back in the 1970s when we passed the 200 million mark of people in America? How many of you remember what I'm talking? Oh, America's just getting so popular. I remember when we were in the 150s, 170 million people. But back in the late 70s, we crossed the 200 million people in America line. The late 70s. There are 330 million people in America today. That means we have increased by about 65 or 70% just in the last 40, 50 years. Is it no wonder there's more crime? There's about 60 or 70% more people. Oh, so many people with cancer. No higher percentage now than there was 50 years ago. You just have more people. We focus on it. We see it more. But you also have gone from 200 million to 330 million people in that time frame. We've got to be careful. Well, I remember when, you know, a gallon of milk cost 50 cents. Yeah? And how much did you make every week? Everything is increased the same. You know, it used to be your house payment was under $100 a month. But you only made about $150, $200 a month. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Made $300 or $400 a month. Okay, if you made $400 a month, your house payment was $100 a month. Now don't complain if you make $4,000 a month and your house payment's $1,000 a month, because it's the same percentage. Right. I think it's sinful to pay that much. Well, you won't find a house payment for under $100 a month, trust me. Nope. Not unless you're just put a whole bunch of cash on it. Because wages and inflation have changed all of that. So to go back then and compare to what you're doing now, not a fair comparison. But everything God put in order is still going as man or as God made it in spite of sin, in spite of it being cursed. Number two, hang on. God does not force his way on anyone. And he only works in people's lives who invite him. Brother Mike, did you know God did not come to you when you were 27 years old, drinking, doing drugs, long-haired maggot? Amen? I said maggot, not the other letter that goes at the beginning of that. With much respect, amen? God did not come to you, grab you by the long hair, rip your face down to the ground and say, now you get saved or you're going to die and go to hell right this second. You had to invite him. You had to trust him to get saved. Not until that time did you get saved. It wasn't a matter of God forcing you to. You willingly did it. Now, listen to this very carefully here. God is not like us wanting to force his ideas and opinions on us. Joe, God never came down and said, either do it my way or no way or you're going to die. Aren't you glad every time you disobeyed God, you didn't die? Amen. Shoot, I'd have been dead 14,000 times in the last 2 weeks. Just like you. God is not like us and says, well, this is what I want you to do. If you don't do it, I'm going to make you do it. Kind of like the way you raise your kids. God works based off of his word and justice, not off of his feelings. See, we want to reason God with our feelings and our emotions. God says, I'll reason with you with justice. Let me show how... Okay. Listen to this logic and help me with this. Everybody smile. I love you. How many of you believe that somebody that commits murder scripturally should be put to death? Raise your hand. All right. Yeah, scripturally, because God says if you take a life, your life should be taken. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And I believe in the death penalty for murder. Premeditated, not accidental, not manslaughter. Murder one. Now, wait a minute. Then don't you get mad at God when somebody else dies, maybe before what you think is their time to die. Because every one of us have the sentence of death on our life. You expect God to release that because you think they're a good person. But they still violated God's law and are guilty of sin and death. There is still sowing and reaping that takes place. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
See, God works based off of his word and justice, not his feelings.
God has emotions just as we do, but his emotions are not tainted by sin. He does not make his decisions based off of emotion. It does not say God does not have emotions. We were created in his image. I preached a whole series on the emotions of the Bible and emotions that we have. Whole Wednesday night series on it, a few years ago. Amazing series. Can I tell you something? God wants you to experience joy. You will experience sorrow. God wants you to enjoy happiness, but he also, you're going to enjoy sadness. You're going to enjoy life, but there's also death that goes with life because of sin. You see, his thoughts are not tainted by sin, so his thoughts are way beyond what we can understand. May I help you with something? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are still in the Bible. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. It doesn't say that you're pre-programmed and everything will go right and nothing will go wrong. That's charismatic mentality.
That's right.
Well, just trust Jesus and all your problems go away. Wrong answer. It doesn't work that way. You see, God does not control our thinking. He does not program us like a computer. He gives us the wherewithal in which to think right in every situation. We don't exercise it. I'm not one of these people that walks around with a little WWJD bracelet or necklace. What would Jesus do?
I'm not against maybe you doing that. How about what would God do? How about what does God think? How about we do what the Bible says do? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We have an every word Bible. Let's live by it.
Amen.
Everything is in light of Scripture. Well, I just don't see it that way. Oh, you know more than God. Well, I just don't understand why God... Oh, you're not supposed to understand him. You're a sinner.
Amen.
His ways are far above our ways. I don't understand all of the physics and everything behind an airplane flying, but I'm glad when I sit down on it, it gets up in the air and comes back where it's supposed to go.
Amen.
I don't have to understand all of the physics of it to get on it and trust that pilot to get me to where he's going with no roadmap. Some of you have more trust in your GPS than you do God.
Boy, is that dangerous.
You see, God does not control our thinking. He doesn't program us like a computer, but he's available to help us in our thinking. Number three. This is where you're going to swallow hard twice. His ways are higher than our ways.
Amen.
His ways are higher than our ways.
Brother Scott, death is not God's fault.
It's our fault.
Amen.
We sinned. God didn't.
That's right.
Brother Harry, God didn't sin. God's not going to die. God's not dead.
Amen.
Nothing God has or is will die.
Amen.
He is eternal life. Now watch this. But because man sinned, death by sin. For death is passed upon all, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 5.
For as by one man's disobedience, many were made unrighteousness. Many were made unrighteous. But by the obedience of one, many became righteous. Because one Adam sinned, there is unrighteousness on everybody's life, but because the second Adam, Jesus Christ, lived our righteousness, when we get saved, his righteousness is imputed to our account eternally, and we have eternal righteousness, but we still face the consequences of sin here. When we die, it's not God's fault.
I don't know that God has an exact amount of time set aside for every person's life. Can't find it in the Bible. I do find that we can extend our days by certain things. I do find we can shorten our days. Say, how do you do that? Famous last words.
Watch this, y'all. That will shorten your days. Yeah, buddy. How we die is not God's fault. Everybody hear that? Just because you got cancer doesn't mean it's God's fault. And please don't get mad at me. I don't think God plans cancer for people. You see, quit judging God about death. We're all sinners. He's not. Why does it matter if they die before they're born, die when they're little, die when they're teens, die when they're young adults, die in their middle age, or die in their senior years? As it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment.
There are people who are bitter with God because someone died before you think they should have died, and you need to get it right with God. I watch people, I've been in the ministry over 30 years. I watch people mess up the rest of their life because someone they love died. And they're angry at God over that. And they hold it against God. And I wonder how many people die and go to hell because they quit soul winning over that.
Next. Death and disease and sickness is not God's fault. It's a result of sin.
I'm going to gross you out for a second. Do you ever wonder where all the maggots in the trash can come from? It's in every bit of flesh we have. When you cook it, you cook it out. The maggots don't mysteriously crawl into your trash can and start eating. They are a part of the food that you put in there. But as it starts decaying, they start hatching and start eating. That's why you're supposed to cook your food. Bring it up to where it kills all of that bacteria and all those maggots. Everybody doing okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, we're all vegetarian now.
It's okay. It'll happen with veggies too, amen? Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. It's not going to affect one thing I'm eating, trust me. Now, wait a minute. Your body produces enough heat to kill it as well. That's one reason why God made your body at the temperature it is. It will kill those things.
Well, God gave us all these healthy things to eat. And I think we should only eat those things. Tell that to the Apostle Peter, where he said, I can't eat of the unclean things, and God said they're all clean.
Amen.
Rise, kill, and eat.
Amen.
Take all three of those seriously, amen? God's justice requires the reaping of sin, but not the judgment of sin.
Brother Harry, did you know that you'll, because you got saved, you're never going to face the judgment for your sin? You will never have to face the fact that you were a sinner. In God's eyes, you are as pure and as righteous as Jesus Christ. But guess what, Brother Joe? All the sin we sow, we're going to reap for it. You put wheat in the ground right now, next spring you're not going to get corn.
That's right.
And if you sow sin, you're going to get death, sickness, and disease. God doesn't place cancer on somebody. That's a result of sin. Everybody doing okay?
And it doesn't mean it's just because you're a sinner that it was your sin that caused it. It's because all of us are sinners. Boy, this is good stuff. God's perfect justice cannot just take all of the bumps and problems out of the way for you and not for somebody else.
Did you know it's not fair if, now listen to this, it's not just if just because you are who you are, you don't suffer consequences? Ask Hillary Clinton that question. Ask people. You get mad at people like that that think they're above the law. Why do you think you're such above the law and hot snot in God's eyes? Don't get me wrong. I think God can comfort us. I think God can heal us. But God does not have to heal you. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on this one time. Lazarus was mad. Lazarus is the one that Jesus raised out of the tomb after 4 days. He had been in heaven, paradise, for 4 days. He had to come back to a sinful world. I don't think Lazarus was as happy as Mary and Martha. What'd you bring me back here for? Man, I'd have come back kicking and screaming.
You see, God's perfect justice just can't take all of your bumps out of the road. And you want to judge God because you hit a bump? Boy, that's good stuff.
Amen.
Disaster is not God's fault. God is not the author of confusion. Did you know there is a God of this world? To keep people from choosing and getting close to God?
And I don't have time to develop this part of it. Trust me on this. And I'm going to give you three different scriptures you can look up here, or three different people you can look up here in a little while. But did you know that in Job's life,
Satan brought all the disaster, not God? Robbery, fire, murder, tornadoes, boils, etc., etc. All of those things came into Job's life as a result of Satan, not God. That means Satan can control the weather. And he does. There is a God of this world. You don't have to see the good or the fairness in all this. You're not God. God does not have to answer to you no more than I have to have my children answer to me when they're adults. Do you know my adult children don't answer to me? I love my dad. He's sitting right over here. But Dad, I don't answer to you anymore. You know that and I know that. There are times you probably wish I did. There's times I should have listened more. I get that. But if I make a mistake, it's not his fault, it's mine. I don't answer to him for that. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
Then what makes you think God's got to answer to you?
You're like the Democrats trying to destroy Trump and Kavanaugh and others because you don't get what you want. You don't like the selection, therefore you're going to complain and whine and try to stop it. The very thing you hate about the political party, you're doing to God. Everybody doing okay? It amazes me. You see these signs. We shouldn't have a rapist on the Supreme Court. Well, he didn't rape anybody. No corroborating evidence. Zero, nada, zilch. 7 FBI investigations. 500,000 pages of written testimony by Mr. Kavanaugh through his history. Now, wait a minute. Some of you are mad at everybody and their unjustness with this, but you're doing the same thing with God because something happened in your life you don't agree with God with. I got to hurry. Number 4, and I'm done. We can get a God mentality and become an idol to ourselves, thinking we're so spiritual.
Brother Barnes, when I decide God's not right, and God's not fair, and I just don't understand God, I have just put myself above God, and I have become my own idol. Okay. I have begun to worship myself and not God. It's idolatry. No different than the Catholics who bend their knee today to a statue with a bunch of beads in their hand praying to Mary, hoping they can get a little closer to Jesus because, oh, his mother can make him do it.
Mary, Mother of God. That means Mary is higher than God. We like to think of ourselves in a good way, as we're spiritual, and that we can understand God. But may I say this, nobody is that spiritual. The only way you understand God is when you think according to that word right there.
That's good.
Am I doing all right?
Amen.
Man, I'm having fun right now. We need daily to remind ourselves how sinful, nasty, dirty, rotten, low-down, scum of the earth, sinful we really are.
We are so much a Pharisee in our generation today. Thank God for our motto, we're a hospital, not a museum.
Amen.
Then quit putting yourself on display. You think you're the doctors and nurses, Dr. Jesus. We're just the ambulance carriers. We're the orderlies dragging people in.
We're not the one that cleans them up. God is. Everybody doing all right? Man, that's good stuff.
Amen.
You ought to take time every day to remind yourself how sinful you really are. Even the best of us are sinners. All three of Job's friends accused Job of wrongdoing as to all of his problems. In Job chapter 4, verse 17, Eliphaz said, "You're putting yourself above God." Eliphaz was guilty of putting himself above God and judging Job because God said, "Satan's the one trying him, not me." We could call it Eliphazism,
not elephantism.
All right? In Job 8, verses 1 through 6, Job's friend Bildad, it's not Buddhism, it's Bildadism. Bildad said, "You put your ways and your thoughts above God. And you are trying to outdo God, and this is why God is bringing you down." God didn't bring him down. God was proving him. Satan was the one bringing him down. Job chapter 11, verses 4 through 9. Zophar, his third friend, said, "Who are you to know how wise and how righteous God is? Who do you think you are?" And all three of Job's friends, listen to me, were guilty of being Pharisees, idolatrous in knowing what God was doing more than what God said he was doing. All three of Job's friends were wrong according to what God said in Job chapter 2 and Job chapter 3. "Hast thou not considered my servant Job, who is an upright man and righteous?" Hello. Fears God and eschews evil? They said, "Oh, you think you're something. You're trying to put yourself on a pedestal. You're trying to be God." No. Your enemy will judge you by how they think. The Democrats who are crying that President Trump is acting like Adolf Hitler are guilty of the Hitler thinking, not President Trump. Do you know why everybody's attacking Kavanaugh as though he had committed some kind of crime? Because they would have been guilty of the crime had they been put in that situation. People judge you based off of how they would do things if they were in your shoes. If you listen, the press will tell you what they think. And you'll know what you're facing.
That's what President Trump does.
Well, I just wish he'd quit tweeting. It's so unpresidential.
No, he's using the press for him. I loved what Ted Koppel did this week, and you've never heard me say that. Ted Koppel is a liberal media journalist who's been retired for about 47,000 years. He had an interview with CNN News this week, and Ted Koppel on national television, well, if you call CNN national, he said, "You all better thank God for President Trump, because without him, you wouldn't have any ratings." He said, "Your ratings would be more in the toilet than they are now had it not been for President Trump. Because 90% of your news is about him." Man, he got in trouble for that, but I loved it. President Trump's pretty sharp. He knows how to use the media against themselves. And he's winning. And he's causing some of these spineless, jelly, backbone, weenie, whiny baby Republicans to stand up.
Amen.
Man, Lindsey Graham finally got a spine. Chuck Grassley finally stood up. So many things I shouldn't say that I'm thinking right now. Even McConnell started breathing this week. Now, I wish we could get rid of some of those rascals. But because they found out when you fight back, you win, and Trump is winning, they better do something or they're going to lose. Somebody asked me, Mrs. Barnes asked me this week, what I and I made a prediction. I said, Joe Manchin will cross the aisle and vote for Kavanaugh because he's not got a snowball's chance in Hades of winning if he doesn't flip.
That's right.
Guess who flipped? And guess who's still going to lose?
Oh, I'm for coal. I'm for West Virginia. And he voted against coal. And he voted against guns. And he voted against a lot of things that he said he was for. And everybody knows it. May I say something? Your enemy will cause you to want you to be like God and take justice into your own hands. I don't kowtow to my enemy. Just do what God says and don't give a flip what the enemy says. Unemployment, the lowest it's been since 1969.
Amen.
Just renegotiated the trade deal with Canada and Mexico. Got rid of NAFTA.
Amen.
He's got China on the run.
Amen.
He's got the world shaking in their boots in 2 years. Can you imagine what six more is going to be like? President Obama came out and said 2% is now the norm for GDP in America. And I don't know what Mr. Trump's thinking about, but he can't do any better than that. Well, we've been over 4 for the last 3 quarters.
Amen.
And it's climbing each quarter.
Bringing jobs back to the United States. See, what did he do? He just unregulated everything that the government overregulated. He just cut the governors off of the motor and just let her fly. Everybody's all worried about the dairy industry and the farmers. And, well, the farmers are going to start doing an awful lot better because of what he has done.
Exactly.
Little suffering at first to get to the pot at the end of the rainbow, but the pot's coming. Let us not judge God. Let us not be guilty of being our own God, trying to view God through our sinful eyes. You need to see how sinful you are and how sinful we are, and quit expecting God to perform as you wish. God is not the genie in the bottle. You rub the bottle, he pops out, and he gives you whatever you want. Quit trying to figure him out. Start obeying him. Use his word, not your thinking. Why don't you use his word and prove him instead of complaining about what you don't have? Yield to him and let him guide you. Quit expecting him to do what you would do. He is not a sinner like you. Did you know you don't get saved your way? You get saved His way? That means we're not supposed to have a church our way. We're supposed to have it God's way. This isn't Burger King Christianity, have it your way. It's not about what God can do for you. It's about what can you do for God. When you start living your life when it's about what can I do for God and not what it's about for you, not when am I going to get out of it, but what is God going to get out of it? God's not supposed to be on trial. He says in Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Every little event in life, God didn't plan. He didn't pre-program your life. When I was a kid, you had these little sports games, and you could pre-program them and hit the button and watch them down the field with each other. That's not how God made us. He said, "I've given you a guidebook. You follow this, and we'll work everything out for your good." Not everything will be good. But He said, we'll work it out for good. We'll get what good we can out of every situation. So let's quit judging God. We were made in His image, but we are not like Him. We sinned. He did not. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you listen today, you could have revival in your Christian life. You could delay your depression. You could put off your Prozac. You could have true spiritual living without bitterness. And you would find contentment and peace like you've never had. Who'd say, "Preacher, somewhere in that sermon is what I needed today"? Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Hand after hand after hand.